Good morning. Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. And it is a Wednesday morning. Coming up on the program a little bit later, we'll hear from the Manhattan Fire Department, Director of Risk Reduction, Ryan Courtright, will be on with us here later on. We'll also hear from Gina Snyder, Downtown Manhattan Incorporated. Get an update from her. And we start things off, though, first with USD 3-3 Manhattan Ogden Schools. And joining me via Zoom here this morning is Superintendent Dr. Marvin Wade. Sir, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, Brandon, and good morning, listeners. Doing well. It's, you know, here we are in January 2022, getting, you know, back in the swing of things with our schools.
Yeah, you've kind of, it's maybe not the exact halfway point of the school year, but I was telling my daughter the other day, before school resumed, that you got 85 days of class. I guess it's down to 84 now after yesterday, but this is a kind of a pivotal time in the school year.
It really is. We think of it as it pretty much, as you said, the halfway point, and it's gone well. There's been challenges, of course. Everybody knows that, but you know, we've been able to stay in school, keep students 5 days a week in person instruction, and that's been a primary driver of what we're doing this year. We just keep that focus, keep moving forward, and know there's a lot of great things going on in our schools and don't want to forget those along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is going to be your second meeting of the week here tonight. Tonight's just a regular business meeting at 6:30 p.m. at the Robinson Education Center. Now, there was a special meeting held on Monday to discuss the pandemic response plan, and I know you guys made an adjustment there, reinstating the district-wide mask ordinance, which, for those that don't remember, the high school level went to mask optional, I believe, in October, and that was changed on Monday in a 4-1 vote, and I thought maybe you could kind of explain the committee, the medical advisory committee, and why that was their recommendation.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. And that as you know, we've got medical advisory committee, representatives from Riley County Health, area physicians, teachers, administrators. Just, you know, we meet regularly, and it's part of our monitoring of data and what's going on. And it's not just positivity rate. It's not just number of people quarantined. It's also things like, what's the capacity of our medical community in order to meet the needs of our community? It's looking at it as not just schools, but the entire community. And when we had our board meeting December 19th, it was the 20th, we had some conversation about, you know, numbers are creeping up. They were creeping up after Thanksgiving. A new variant coming along, just different factors that were concerning to us that we really want to open up. We want to be able to do like we did beginning, that there was that period starting November 1st at the high school, at East Campus, West Campus, our support buildings, where we made it masking optional. And that went really well. One thing I didn't get a chance to say on Monday night at the board meeting was how well the high school did with this. That they did, the students, the staff did, and visitors did a great job with the optional masking. A lot of people chose to wear the masks anyway, others didn't, but we didn't see significant changes in the numbers. And I just wanted to say that this action we took Monday to reinstitute the masking was not because of anything they did wrong. It was a proactive measure. And I've talked before about, you know, that rather than waiting to see what we think is going to happen and then be reactionary to that, I'd much rather say, you know, the indicators are looking like this is going to occur. Why should we wait for that to happen? I would much rather just us go ahead and, in this case, reinstitute masks short term, hopefully short term, as a preventative measure, because our number one, kind of getting on a soapbox here, but
Still got you here.
I'm still here. I got so excited. I was flailing my arms around and ripped my headset out.
Oh, okay.
And there we go. Just that we want to keep our schools open. That 5 days a week, being at school, we heard loud and clear from families, they really need us to have our students there. We keep hearing schools are the safe places. So what can we do to help ensure that we stay open? And that's the reason for the recommendation that the board acted on to impose the masking. Kind of backing up to your question about medical advisory, we were watching closely during the winter break what's going on, again, in the medical community, what's going on other places, what's the trend line looking like? And the conversation just kept coming back to it's becoming bad. It did become bad in terms of capacity at the hospitals. And it's not that they're all full. It's that if there is this massive outbreak, we're going to have problems. So have those conversations about what's it look like, where have people been, where are they coming back from right after winter break. If there's a time, you know, we always talked about pivoting, being able to go back to doing the masking if we needed to. And it was decided, it was recommended by people on medical advisory that we reinstitute the mask. And I totally agree with that. And the reason for the last minute board meeting was to get out in front of this before school started on Tuesday. That to have students come, you know, we've got our board meeting tonight, but we didn't want us to come back, have a couple of days of people unmasking, and then the board take action on it tonight. That would probably mean it goes into effect tomorrow or next week. Let's just do it now, get out in front of it the best we can, and go with that approach. And then watch it closely as the board did on Monday night. You know, they asked questions about it. What are we planning? The next review, I mean, the board motion was, the next review is going to be prior to February 4th, which is a Friday. So we do have a board meeting on, I think it's the second or the third, whatever that Wednesday is. We will have a board meeting, and at that point, we will review the pandemic response plan and where we're at with the masking and other things at that point in time. And there was also the comment made about it. And of course, if there's something that changes between now and then, we can definitely call a special board meeting if we need to. But I think, I think what we'll see over time is there's going to be more districts going this direction, whether it's proactive, whether it's reactive. I think it's just kind of like the writing's on the wall. And the masking is not the be-all and end-all of this. It's just one of our, we hear people talk about the tools in the toolbox. It's one of our mitigation strategies that we have that's been effective. We'll continue, to do that as long as we need to. But again, it's not anything that the high school has done wrong. It's just us trying to keep schools open and keep our fingers crossed on that and keep doing everything we can to keep going.
Yeah, I'm curious. Have health officials talked to the district about maybe a lowering of COVID testing supplies? Maybe this is part of the reason for re-implementing the district-wide mandate. Maybe the testing supplies just aren't as adequate as they were a couple months ago?
That's part of the conversation. There's a lot of different things that come up. That's one of the factors. But we, as a school district, we do have plenty of the COVID testing kits for our schools. That we implemented the testing program to help students be able to stay in school. There's been a lot of use of that. We've got plenty of the testing kits. So that's not a reason for us to, that didn't impact the decision. Let me put it that way. But from a broader community standpoint, and that's, I always want to emphasize that we're part of that broader community, and the things that happens in the community, of course, affects us and vice versa. So we did hear that physicians, are running short on testing kits, but that can change day to day too, but we're okay in the schools. And just another kind of related to that would be, I know we did have 35 positives yesterday in the school district. With yesterday being the first day back to school, we did have 35 positives. Some people might think that's a lot, others might not, but that's just what the number is right now. We'll continue to watch that. And again, one of the reasons for this action is just like businesses, just like other places, we have to be able to have staff at work in order for us to do our business. And the masking is, in my opinion, one of the things that we can do to help ensure that we have the people there that we need to have there in order to keep our schools open.
You know, that you bring up a good point there. I think a lot of folks get hung up on, you know, you're masking the kids, and the kids aren't, you know, some of the kids aren't able to get vaccinated. Some are. But it sounds like from what I'm gathering here, most of this is to keep, you know, teachers. And I know you guys have had a shortage of staff here this year. Anything you can do to prevent more people going down, that's what you want to do here to keep things going.
Definitely. Teachers, paraeducators, bus drivers, child nutrition workers, all of those maintenance facilities people, all of those are critical for us. And there before winter break, we were dropping down in the low 80s in terms of our attendance rate for adults. And we know that, especially depending on where those absences are, that's really getting to a point where it's going to start impacting things like let's say trips to, I'm not trying to be an alarmist, but trips to, let's say, athletic events or something like that, we may end up having to say we cannot send this team to that event because we don't have the drivers available to be able to do that. Just those kind of things that we really are watching closely to try to, of course, avoid that situation.
Sure.
But it is a concern with the staffing, and nothing new. I mean, in that regard, we're doing the same things we've had to do before. We're just pivoting back to pretty much where we were mid-October. Hopefully it's short term. They're saying that this, you know, the next variant is milder, but it's more contagious, and you know, we'll just do what we need to do and keep watching it and open back up as soon as we can safely.
All right.
You know what? I shouldn't say open back up. I should say reduce some of the mitigation measures, specifically the masking. You know, that we want to do that as quickly as we can safely do it, and we'll just keep watching it and communicating with whomever we need to in order to make an informed decision. And along those regards, I know I've got a Zoom meeting tomorrow afternoon with people from the state level, from Department of Ed and Health and Environment, on kind of a status report there. So that, I think that's going to help us moving forward too. Because right now we're in a situation of CDC's guidelines are changing. Those change. Kansas Department of Health and Environment respond. Riley County Health responds. There's just a lot of moving parts, and we're figuring those things out behind the scenes, but in the meantime, we have to do something here and now, and that includes the masking.
All right. We're going to take a quick time out, but we'll come back and talk more with Dr. Wade in a moment here on News Radio KMAN, and Focus continues after this.